I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Believe that Iran has moved nuclear centrifuges into Pickaxe Mountain? And when you say we're not done yet, what is left to finish?
Well, I think that they may have. We don't have it on record. We follow the material. That's where the action is. And we'll be hitting that area probably pretty soon. And there's not a thing they can do about it. You know, normally I wouldn't say that. If I thought they could do something about it, I would never say that. But we'll be hitting that area pretty soon, and very heavily.
Now, this is what we believe what's happening here in Pickaxe, underground nuclear tunnel complex near the Natanz site, as I just mentioned. And why would you be concerned about this? Well, the Israelis just this week said this might be the area where the Iranians are storing or have moved their centrifuges. And what could you do with that? You could use those centrifuges to rebuild your nuclear program. And that is the worry. Why it's difficult to hit? That's mountains about 5,000 feet high and about 300 to 450 feet underground is where the centrifuges may be located. So what do you do? Do you hit it? And if so, can you be successful? This is tough mountain built of granite.
And then the key is, will that be sufficient enough to stop Iran? We have, as you heard in that Fox report, the realism that Pickaxe Mountain, 300 to 500 feet under it, where they have their centrifuges now placed, according to Israeli and other intel sources. In the 5,000 top of that mountain range, you've got to get down and into the 300 to 400 feet lower to be effective. Unless, would ground troops be used? Now, again, I'm opposed to using U.S. forces, U.S. boots on the ground. This is where the Gulf allies should step in. And they've been targeted by Iran. They've been taking hits from Iran. So they might be more than willing to do so, and apparently indicating they will, but that's yet to be determined. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, July 23, 2026. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later. On Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, which, by the way, is where you can subscribe, and we will dump each program into your mailbox. We need minimum information, and we do not sell your information. But you have it in your mailbox every day. It's also available at Larry Connors USA Facebook. All the podcasts on any podcast outlet, simply search Larry Connors USA. And with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. Education. Every hour you leave with more information than you began. Just coming up in this segment, you're going to hear an example of your education. In our next hour, there is no... I've got a guess that says there is no America first with Mexico last. What's the story there? That'll be coming up in our next hour. And later in this hour, John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist, says basically our transhumanist sci-fi human is here, cloning underway. We will get into that with John Daniel Davidson in this hour. And before we wrap up this hour, my days as a bull rider, not on the PBR circuit, but a Brahma bull doesn't know it's not on the PBR circuit. So some personal stories here on bull riding, and also the story of the most historic bull ever ridden or not, Bushwhacker. That's still to come. And my battle to ride a mechanical bull. It's all part of the story behind the story. Now back to the more serious issue. Dealing with Iran. Brian Hook is a former U.S. special representative to Iran, and his thought on attacking Pickaxe Mountain.
does have to hit Pickaxe Mountain because Iran has learned over the earlier strikes on the nuclear facilities that anything above ground is at risk of being destroyed. And so Iran has always been thinking many steps ahead about putting a nuclear facility so deep that it's that no bombs could penetrate it. But that doesn't mean that you have to get to the very bottom to neuter this facility. There's a lot of stuff above ground that you can hit and still accomplish your objective of denying Iran the ability to put its nuclear facility underground.
And you have to keep in mind the battle continues. And in fact, Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels claiming dual attacks on Saudi oil tankers and the Red Sea early this morning, as the U.S. conducted a 12th straight night of strikes against Iran infrastructure, military and civil. President Trump had said yesterday, you hit any tanker, you will get fire back, and we'll be going after civilian infrastructure, bridges, roads, power plants. And that is what we're doing at this point. In the meantime, we also have stories that what are we going to be doing reference the agreement with the civil nuclear deal, the 1-2-3 agreement with Saudi Arabia. I've been going after that in today's commentary. I have a lot of questions, concerns, because my main issue is in that part of the region of the world, and Saudi Arabia has been our friend, ally for 90-plus years, but in that part of the world, that 90 years equals 90 seconds. And your friend today could well be your enemy tomorrow. President Trump reclarifying today that the civil nuclear deal, there will be no enrichment of material between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, pertains only to non-military use. And of course, that's the reason we're fighting in Iran, to stop Iran from building up nuclear weapons. And said it's not going to happen unless they sign off on the successful Abraham Accords. So there's still some pieces to be signed off and played out. But again, back to the reality of right now. Nukes possibly being constructed inside Iran, inside Pickaxe Mountain. And the question I raised a moment ago goes right back now to Brian Hook, former U.S. Special Rep to Iran. Will we need boots on the ground?
I think Pickaxe can be done in terms of rendering it inoperable. Does that mean forever? Probably not. But there's a lot that you can do to set back the program. And President Trump has set back Iran's nuclear program enormously. And our military has achieved enormous gains against Iran's nuclear program. But they've been preparing for this fight for almost 20 years. And they have a perfect history of hiding their nuclear program. And Pickaxe is central to their strategy. And so it's not something that the president can ignore. I think even with a from an aerial standpoint, you can do a lot to set back Iran's nuclear program at Pickaxe.
Now, there's another issue on the table, and it's going to be prevalent, not only as expressed by Brian Hook, but a counter statement from a guest, or rather from a speaker coming up before we wrap up this segment, and that is the Gulf allies. They are allies with us right now and what we're doing, and they're being targeted by Iran. And they've been firing back into Iran. But could there be a break point? Once again, Brian Hook.
You have a lot of Gulf countries that are very nervous about Iran counterattacking and taking out energy facilities all across the Gulf. And if that were to happen, you could see a very sharp elevation in energy prices and in gas prices. And so I think you have a lot of very nervous Gulf allies about Iran striking back. They've already shown a willingness and a capability to hit energy facilities around the Gulf, but they've held back a lot. And so I think our allies are very nervous, and that's why they're trying to negotiate some sort of diplomatic path. You heard Secretary Rubio talk about the door to diplomacy is open, and that's exactly the right position, while the president answers every Iranian military provocation with a response on our side. I think the long-term path is a dual strategy of answering Iran militarily while running the economic blockade, the naval blockade that he's doing. The Iranian economy is very fragile. And the president was right to start the maximum economic pressure campaign in his first administration. He's got 2.5 years left to let this run. And I think because Iran is this very fragile Marxist economy, that's its biggest vulnerability. That's its weakness. And you have to focus on that while you're also answering them militarily when they hit ships.
And so we're keeping negotiations open. But Trump made it very clear. Iran's not really interested in any talks. They just want delay tactics and delay tactics. That's the bottom line.
This is with this skirmish we have with the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I call it that because let me tell you, they're getting hit so hard and they want to make a deal. But I say they're not ready to make a deal. Because every time they make a deal, they want to change it and everything. They're not ready. They'll be ready very soon.
Well, that's Trump's prediction. There is a contrarian view on Trump and the success in hammering, quote, winning in Iran right now. Some might say this is not just a contrarian view. It is a legitimate view. We're talking about Chicago University professor Robert Papp. This was him 2 months ago.
This is the week that the United States has truly lost control of the Iran war. This has all happened. It's been building, and I've been talking about this, but you can now see it this week. Iran is negotiating without the United States. So Iran's going to Pakistan. It's going to Russia. It's about to go to Oman. But it's not about meeting with the United States. Our allies, at least maybe our former allies, say the German leader, is publicly saying that America is humiliated on the world stage. Just think about that for a moment. And the global system, the region and the global system is essentially moving on without the United States.
Now, again, that was 2 months ago. We have seen a lot of success since then, but some of that thought process expressed by Robert Papp, professor, University of Chicago, it still exists among, quote, allies. And we're not even talking about in the Gulf region. He mentioned Germany. And, of course, we also have the issue to deal with in our own backyard, inside our country, as we pointed out yesterday. Some of our greatest enemies against what we're trying to do with Iran are in our nation. Now, I'm not calling Robert Papp an enemy, but I'll point this out to you. The House of Democrats, I should say, the House today passed a Democratic-backed war powers resolution to limit President Trump's military action in Iran. The lower chamber voted 214 to 208 to pass that resolution, sponsored by Washington Congresswoman Yaya Paul. And four Republicans joined all the Democrats in that measure. The usual suspects here for you. Michigan Congressman Barrett, Ohio Congressman Davidson, Kentucky Congressman Massey, Pennsylvania Congressman Fitzpatrick. So even inside our own country, we have those still fighting against what Trump says he needs to do to move forward and put an end to this once and for all. But now going back to Robert Papp and his statement from 2 months ago that it was a bad thing to get involved in and we're losing allies and they're going to turn on us. I do go back to my statement earlier. Your enemy, your friend today could well be your enemy tomorrow. Robert Papp's most recently viewed stated this way.
Iran is stronger today than it was before the war started. And this is literally the nightmare scenario that we've been worrying about. And the reason you're having me here is because in the next few months, the world economic crisis is going to grow.
And it does appear that you've been largely correct about what you said would happen.
It's because I've been modeling the bombing of Iran 20 years, and I've advised every White House from 2001 to 2024 on different issues related to conflict. conflict. And right now, we're coming into the stage three prediction. We're like on the Titanic, and we're about to hit the iceberg. And when the iceberg hits, there's not enough lifeboats for everybody. So we are knocking on the door of the world literally running out of oil. And then on top of that, Stephen, we have another set of problems. For example, Iran is attacking our base in Jordan, and we're in our ninth day of bombing in a row. And the scale of eliminating the drone and missile threat is much bigger than people realize, because they hide those drones everywhere.
So how real is the risk that the U.S. will do some kind of limited ground operation with boots on the ground in Iran?
It's bordering on 70% now, probably by the end of this week. But I'm concerned about terrorist attack, because controlling pieces of homeland territory is the biggest risk factor for suicide terrorism. So the choice is, do we have a global economic crisis, possibly recession, possibly worse, or do we let Iran control the Strait of Hormuz?
Now, that is a key point. Obviously, we cannot allow Iran to control the Strait of Hormuz. And in the meantime, the Houthi rebels, as I mentioned, they're now firing at ships at another choke point. They're around the edge of Yemen, Red Sea, going into the Gulf of Aden, and they're beginning to fire. And some of those ships trying to come through the Red Sea, they've been on the southern side of the Strait of Hormuz or have passed through it. They're now turning back because of the Houthi rebels escalating their attacks. I told you earlier about how the House had passed a Democrat War Powers Resolution. That's in the House. In the meantime, Senate Republicans are growing increasingly concerned after what they say, and this is a quote from, I believe this is The Hill. They say there is a lack of a clear plan to end the military conflict with Iran. And they warn that rising U.S. casualties and stubbornly high gas prices are going to hurt the party in the midterm election. That is a political ploy play that it obviously works to the advantage of Iran and those against Trump. Make no mistake about it. I'm looking at the latest report from CNN, basing on oil prices, saying oil tops $100 as a Red Sea attack significantly escalates the conflict. That is a reference again to the Houthi rebels attacking ships trying to leave the Red Sea, going to the Gulf of Aden, I should say. Now again, Trump has been asking for more money. Hegseth asked Congress for that the other day. Senate Republicans were not totally sold on what he said. House Republicans having to deal with a defeat and another resolution passed to control Trump. We've got a long ways to go with this thing. Coming up, I'd mentioned earlier, the guest for today in this first hour, John Daniel Davidson, senior editor at The Federalist. And he says basically the sci-fi view of a trans-machine, transhumanist human is already here. He will explain exactly how, and that includes cloning. And the story behind the story. My days as a bull rider and the most famous bull in PBR history. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio, entry door, has seen better days? Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is senior editor at The Federalist, author of the book Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. And part of today's article he did for The Federalist involves some of the words from that very book. John Daniel Davidson, glad to have you on board, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
You wrote a piece here, and I'm going to read the title and let you take it for a few moments. Our transhumanist sci-fi future has arrived, but you're not going to like it.
Yeah, this was about an item that was on X the other day. Earlier this week, a guy named Brian Johnson, who's a Silicon Valley tycoon who made millions developing AI applications for medical technology. He has a project called Project Blueprint, I believe, and the point of it is to live forever. He thinks he can reverse the aging process using medical technology, and he's using himself as the test case. And so he's very publicly documenting his efforts to reverse aging and achieve immortality. That sounds crazy, but that's sort of normal among these transhumanist Silicon Valley types. And he announced yesterday that he has successfully cloned himself. He's cloned what he calls a baby Brian that he's going to use to harvest blood and stem cells and potentially grow replacement organs. So this raises a terrifying prospect for the future of medical technology and AI.
And of course, you point out he does not have, nor does he claim, a full-grown body double, but he does have in a petri dish, he says, basically, as you said, a baby Brian from which he can harvest organs to continue life forever and ever, if he's right.
Yeah, and he even said in his announcements, he said, you know, this is just in a petri dish for now. So obviously the aim here is to utilize, you know, the technology he's using is about 20 years old, but previously it was used to treat just specific diseases. It's a process of taking blood cells and then these different techniques to make them into stem cells. Now he's doing that with his own cells with the hope that he can grow organs that he can use as replacement organs, that he can replace his blood with new, younger blood, that he can produce stem cell therapies from his own clone and inject them into his body and prolong his life. That's the kind of dystopian sci-fi project that is going to become increasingly common among these people.
Now, you point out in your book, you've written about it in Pagan America, that some years ago, Time Magazine featured him in a Puff profile. And basically, you point out in Pagan America is an example how the transhumanist movement is a form of neo-paganism that will treat AI like a new force of deity.
That's right. I talked about Brian Johnson in my book because he's an example of somebody who's treating AI like a god or a deity. He has essentially given over his whole life to these AI algorithms. They dictate to him what he is to eat, when he is to sleep, where he is to go, what he is to do. Every second of his day is determined by this AI. These AI algorithms that he's using to prolong his life. And so the bargain here is a very old one for students of history and anybody who knows anything about how the pagan world worked. The deal was, in exchange for fealty and sacrifice to a pagan deity, you were given power, either, you know, some kind of power, long life, power over nature, power over your enemies. That's the bargain. You get something, and all of these systems include some form of human sacrifice, and human sacrifice always involves cannibalism. Well, now, I think it's important to note that in that time profile, Brian Johnson said that initially when he started this program, he was injecting himself with blood plasma from his 18-year-old son in hopes that it would reverse his own aging. Now, that is a very ancient practice coming back to us in a modern guise of technology.
Now, being the devil's advocate for a moment, and this could be as literal as you want, what's wrong with wanting to prolong your life and live longer, and if you can do it using your own cells as opposed to harvesting from someone else?
There's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy and to live a full and complete life. But of course, you know, people like Brian Johnson need to understand that if they want to live forever, all they have to do is become a Christian.
Yes.
Christ said that right. He promised the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And so we have that as Christians. The desire to prolong one's life in a physical, unresurrected form is a diabolical ambition that has been part of every human society since the beginning of time. It's the Faustian bargain. And we have a lot of literature and mythology to warn us against the dangers of that. Unfortunately, I think the Silicon Valley tech elites are maybe not aware of that, or they don't think it applies to them because they think their technology has overcome these perennial issues.
Well, we have gone through various sci-fi stories of Frankenstein or taking a head from someone else and putting it on your body so you can continue that way. I mean, it's been all over the chart, but it's been looked at as sci-fi, not possible, not going to happen, and no one would want to do it. But the corner has turned.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the things about technology, and I mentioned this in my piece, we have to understand that technology kind of has a life of its own. Everything that can be done with technology will be done with technology. So, you know, the sci-fi future is not just a cure for cancer and renewable clean energy. It's also pretty horrifying things like animal-human chimeras, you know, artificial wombs, and clones that are developed for the purpose of harvesting body parts and organs and blood. You know, that's a dark vision of the future, but unfortunately, these tech oligarchs in Silicon Valley and elsewhere are barreling us forward toward it.
And then on the other side, you have various countries, most recently Spain, the Netherlands as well, yeah, and Canada, pushing and legalizing euthanasia.
That's right. Euthanasia is another example of the pagan mindset coming back into the modern world under a new guise. You know, under the moniker of healthcare, which is what Brian Johnson calls this clone, right? Healthcare. You know, they call abortion healthcare. They call euthanasia healthcare.
Right.
They call clone harvesting health. Everything's healthcare, but it's actually very diabolical, very wicked, and we need to call it out for what it is.
Now, is there a line though where it is legitimate and worthwhile and genuine and is not anti-God, anti-Christ, although I certainly agree with you if you want life everlasting, accept Jesus into your heart. But is there a line there where it's on the good side, but then you cross one line where it turns to the other side?
I think there's always a line, and this is why it's important for religious leaders and ethicists to pay attention to technology and to respond to it when it comes up. This is something the Catholic Church has done very well over the years as new technologies come online, to be able to sort of assess them in light of eternal, unchanging truths about the human condition, about God and man, and about the moral universe that we inhabit, to be able to give God so that we're not bowled over by every new technology and think, oh, well, this technology can do some good. Well, yes, maybe it can do some good, but at what cost? And that's the question we have to ask about all these things.
But it is different than harvesting from aborted fetuses and umbilical cords and so forth. So is that a plus or minus?
Oh, you mean harvesting one's own stem cells?
Right.
Yeah, I think this technology may have an application in a certain case when someone has a disease that they need to be cured, and they're able to take some of their own blood and do this process to it to make it into stem cells and then create a therapy that treats that disease. The problem here is that Brian Johnson and the people who want to live forever, they're not treating a disease. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no malady to be cured. What they're trying to treat is their own mortality. And that is a totally different goal, a totally different aim and ambition than trying to treat a specific disease or sickness to restore health. That's not restoring health.
And how different is that from the ancient process of bloodletting to make yourself better?
Well, I mean, the bloodletting, the idea that was that you were also treating a disease. I think it's much more akin to the ancient process of sacrifice, sacrificing a victim, consuming their blood in exchange for prolonged or eternal life. In this case, what Brian Johnson and these other people are contemplating is growing human beings, growing human organs and parts, creating people and destroying them. It's we have all kinds of technologies that cheapen human life, that create people and create human beings, bring them into the world for the purpose of destruction. That's what IVF is. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
This is a form of that we need to not embrace uncritically, that we need to weigh the costs, think very carefully about it, and realize that mortality is not a sickness to be cured through technology.
All right, John Daniel, I'll always appreciate you joining us. A fascinating discussion for our audience. Would like to have you back on a future subject, sir.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Always appreciate talking to you.
You bet. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. The article, Our Transhumanist Sci-Fi Future Has Arrived. And again, check out his book, Pagan America. Pagan America. Coming up, my days as a bull rider and the meanest, wickedest bull on earth. Bushwhacker.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later.
Yeah.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days? Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Blake Sharp, you can see him right there. Keeping continues to have Rockville's number, and that's his second score of the weekend, Coop. That's very important.
Very important. I don't think he's going to go to the number one spot, but he's going to move in that top five with this ride here. Rockville had a good day. Dan Keeping matched it.
It's probably going to take two to bring you back to the championship round. Coop, 90 on the nose.
Really good ride. Hey, what a way to start us off for our first ride here in Albuquerque. Just what you'd expect.
His second 90-plus point score of the season could not have come at a better time after that long Buckoff streak. He has now ridden two good ones in a row.
Well, that is part of the action from the PBR, the Pole Riders Professional Organization. The PBR, you often see them around the nation and probably watch them on TV. It's an international group, basically headquartered out of Fort Worth. The largest bull riding league in the world. Hundreds of events every year in the U.S., Canada, Brazil, and Australia. More than 800 bull riders from those communities and others. It was founded back in 1992. Now, keep in mind, bull riding has been around for a long time. They founded the PBR in 1992, and the goal was to find the meanest, toughest bulls you could. When a rider is on a bull, the rider is ranked on his riding skill or her skill. I don't know any female bull riders that have made
any crack in any records, but also the Bulls' performance. If you happen to draw a weak bull and you have a great ride, yeah, so what? You were expected to ride that bull for 8 seconds. 8 seconds. Start counting. One, two, three, four. You're off. 8 seconds is a long time when you're on the back of a bull that does not want you on its back. Now, many of my years, I spent some time in East Texas where my grandfather lived, and every weekend we would go to local circuit county-type events, rodeos that would feature bull riding. I was not allowed at that point, because of my age, to do any bull riding. I was only allowed to goat rope. Well, I was already roping cattle in the thickets of East Texas at the age of 12 and yanking them out. And the only other thing I could enter in was barrel racing. But my horse was a cow horse. It was not meant to do barrel racing, and the girls beat me every time. So one year I told my granddad, I'm going to be a bull rider. He said, well, you can't do that, son. You got to be 12 years old. I said, granddad, I just had a birthday. He said 14, I think 14 at that point. I said, well, I just had a birthday. He said, I know you did, but you're only 12. But at that time, nobody checked. There was no photo ID. There was no ID whatsoever. If I signed up, said I was old enough and ready, they put me on. And yeah, I had some concern and fear in the beginning, but I thought, you know, this is something I want to do. I want to try. And that first ride, I barely got out of the gate. And that was my biggest concern, to fall down inside the gate with the bull still in the gate. That I did not want to do. And you hold on the best you can, and not very pretty ride, I'm sure, if there's any video available, and to my knowledge, there certainly isn't. But I started doing it, and I never really got seriously hurt, in my opinion. I have some back issues that came up later as I got older, but didn't keep me out of the Marines. I got stepped on several times. I've got a mark still on my inside of my left ankle where the bull split the boot right at the seam. Again, I was shaken up a little bit and sore for some days, but no broken bones, no serious injury, although I had often a bull hoof come past my face throwing dirt into it. And today's bull riders, many of them wear caged helmets, which I think is a good idea, quite honestly. It's not like the days where you want to wear a cowboy hat and just go out there and whoop it up. I mean, you got to consider what you're dealing with. And the professional bull riders, they're dealing with some of the worst bulls raised, and they're particularly pointed into there. They want a high-ranked bull so they can get a high score if they can stay on board. And once again, some of the action from a PBR event.
He needs 90.3. Coopy gets 90.15.
So close. But you know what? This is a big, big ride for Felipe Furlan on one of the best bulls in the world.
I just looked at my sheets. He's now 3-for-3 in championship rounds.
Yeah, he loves the big stage.
Coming back from a major injury of his own. Remember, he dislocated and tore all the ligaments in his left elbow during teams. He'll be smiling for a long time.
A long time if you could get a ride down from any bull, but particularly if it was a high-ranked bull. Now, bull riding has been around as long as a man decides, I'm going to get on that thing, see what happens. Well, you find out pretty quick. And if you can hold on at 8 seconds, and when I was riding, the guy's timing were using a stopwatch. If they were half a second late pushing that stopwatch, I didn't get credit even if I did make 8 seconds. Because I only made 7.5 by their stopwatch. Nowadays, it's more accurate, but it's still got to be 8 seconds. We have had a lot of bull riders out of Texas, obviously. And obviously, there's been some all over the nation. One of them, James Monty, was a top consistent in the PBR for several years during the PBR World Championship, known for choosing the most difficult bulls. He said, if you want to be the best, you got to ride the best.
He was often later nicknamed the Dragon Slayer because he was able to control some of the biggest bulls out there. Why did I continue doing it? Well, quite honestly, as I got into my early teens and even mid-teens, the girls loved bull riding. I thought that's why I'm doing it. Stupid. I know it's stupid. But I was not stupid enough to do bareback bronco because that is a whiplash that I think would have snapped my head off. If you watch the bronco riders of today, when they start out of the chute, their feet are stretched straight out to the horse's neck, and they're basically laying on the back of the horse trying to hang on, and there's some violent whiplashing. A bull cannot do that kind of movement. But there is a key tell to maybe what a bull is going to do, which brings me to the fact that I can't ride a mechanical bull. And in fact, if they know that I have been a bull rider at one time, and I would not do it now, honestly, but there is a reason that riding a mechanical bull is different than a real bull. Now, I'll explain that. But also, the bull that made history, Bushwhacker. There have been several, but Bushwhacker in particular. So, yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli, all the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
This is the world's most famous bull.
He's in front of the Dow Gang.
Bushwhacker, the world champion bucking bull.
Want to see how big he is?
He's been in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal.
The biggest athlete in our sport is not a rider. It's a bull, and his name's Bushwhacker.
Eight, he is our Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan.
Five, four.
Muhammad Ali and John Elway all rolled into one.
There's not a bull that can't be rode, and there's not a cowboy that can't be thrown.
Mark Dow Gang's closed.
Stand by Bushwhacker.
Stage left is closed.
Bang, 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 Pyro, go, go, go.
Bushwhacker's next.
This year it has been all Bushwhacker.
God's creature, a spectacular.
Here we go, 10, 9.
There ain't no 4-H project you're getting on, it's a real deal.
It's as big and as scary and as rank as they come.
Let him out, open the gate.
Well, that's my shot.
But you don't ever see him have a bad day.
8, 7.
That's a great, great animal that's going to be remembered for a long, long time.
Bushwhacker, tough, ready to lose it, lose it. Great, this is all 6, this is all 6.
This is like Michael Jordan shooting his final shot.
We've come to a memorable moment in the history of the PBR. A journey that began on the Built for Tough series in September 2009 comes to a conclusion today.
18,000 people in here that came to see this moment.
Look at the crowd, look at the crowd.
Bushwhacker's story doesn't end here, but his professional career does. The final out for the legend.
He rides, it's unbelievable.
People are going to remember where they are at this moment.
Bushwhacker was born June 1, 2006. Passed away July 2, 2024, while on a stud farm, basically. Now, many say the real bull capability comes from the cow, not the breed of the bull that's mated with her. And those who rode Bushwhacker said he could be really calm inside the gate. Didn't mind you getting on back, but the moment you nodded your head and you checked for that gate to be open, it was war. He had a PBR record streak of 42 consecutive buck-offs, 46 buck-offs in all levels of competition. August 2013, J.B. Mauney finally successful in riding him after 9 previous tries. So anytime you had Bushwhacker to ride, if you could stay on, you were going to score high points. But as you heard, August 2013, his 42 buck-off streak was broken. That was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He scored 46.75 on that ride, would not be ridden again. He ended up being the 8th in all-time buck-offs to date. And again, Bushwhacker was awarded the PBR Brand of Honor, again referred to, as you heard, the Michael Jordan of Bulls. Reading a couple of quotes from those who wrote them, one of them being, I believe this is Chris Shivers, saying, talking about Bushwhacker, he's as important to the sport as any of the writers. I'd correct this. This is Lambert. Josh Lambert, I believe it is. Saying it's important to, he was important to the sport as any of the writers we've ever had and more famous than most of them. Then J.R. Mone spoke of his longtime rival, said, I hung on to him long enough for them to say I made the whistle. But in my eyes, he is the greatest bucking bull there ever will be. He said people will raise bulls their entire life and never have a bull like Bushwhacker. Bushwhacker weighing 1,800 pounds, and they said what he had was kind of a well-defined bovine six-pack of rigging muscles along his sides. He was built to throw you, and just not throw you, he threw you high when you came off. Just the fall itself could hurt you, even if he didn't step on you. And, of course, you had the what were at one time called rodeo clowns, now called bullfighters, that rush in to try to distract the bull and get them away from the rider, especially if he's on the ground and hurt. And, of course, the worst thing to do is get caught up in it. You cannot do this story about bull riding without pointing out Missouri has a rich professional highlighting of riders from the Missouri Thunder PBR team, Luke Snyder and Mason Lowe. Now, what's the difference between riding that and a mechanical bull? Because when I would go to ride a mechanical bull somewhere, somebody would say, come on, get on. I know they told the director, the guy running the machine, you saw it, it got popularized, you're an urban cowboy, and he would make that machine do things a real bull could not do in that reaction time. Up, left, right, F, and down. A bull cannot do all of that. He can do some of it. And the thing about it, the other part about riding the machine versus the bull, you try to gauge where the bull is going to go and what's going to happen next by watching the head. Since there's no head on that mechanical machine, there was no way to gauge anything. So I would often get thrown off, and everybody would have a great time laughing at me. Oh, you were a bull rider. So. And then they'd put a beautiful young lady on and let her have a nice, slow ride, and everybody would cheer. Now, this is the difference between riding a real bull and a mechanical bull. And I never rode a PBR-rated bull. But again, as I said, you get on the back of a bull, he wants you off. He does not know he's not in the PBR. He just wants you off. So the days of bull riding, something to look back on. And I'm telling my grandsons, I'm not so sure I want you playing football. And they'd say, didn't you ride bulls at the same age we're trying to play football? Okay. I'm not very good example, am I? The story behind the story for tomorrow. Apollo 11 splashes down, safely returning the first men to walk on the moon. And before the next hour is over, Joe Rogan says one of his guests went out and cut off a person's head. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. it's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com wins.
This is News Talk STL.